This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah walhamdulillah. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Continuing our reading from the Quranic passages, our series Harmony, where we discuss family life in the Quran. Sheikh Abdul Nasser is not here tonight because he's traveling, and he asked me to fill in, so I apologize in advance, but inshallah we'll be able to go through the passage that highlights, one of the important questions that every parent and every future parent should have, which is, what is my goal with my children in life? When we look at how the Quran frames parenting and the relationship between parents and children, the word that comes to mind and the word that appears is the word amana. It is a trust, it's a responsibility, it's something that is not about how much you can accomplish or you can achieve as a parent, but it's what kind of legacy and what kind of impact you can have as a individual who's trying to teach your child about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we take this from the example of the prophets. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in ayah number 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. He says, who on earth would ever consider rejecting the example and the way of Prophet Ibrahim, except for a person that has been foolish with themselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in some scenarios in life, you have role models that are specific for that scenario. You have people that you look up to for a certain craft or trade or some kind of skill. But there are some people that no matter what the category is, they will always be a role model. They will always be somebody that you can look up to and you can take their example. And so the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to describe this categorical, universal example of the Prophet Ibrahim is millah, his way, his path. No matter what topic you're looking at from the lens of, when you look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you find that he is a role model, a shining example. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ اسْتَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says that not only was he the one who was chosen, his path was sublime and perfect, but he was designated in this life and in the afterlife, he will be considered from amongst the righteous. Allah Ta'ala is giving us his accolades. He accomplished everything that we could ever think about. But the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to elaborate on for us here is particularly the example of how Ibrahim alayhi salam preserved faith amongst his children and his lineage. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, submit, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And immediately his response was, I have submitted to the Lord of everything, of all of the worlds. There was no space in between the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the result of submission. This is why Ibrahim is a legend. This is why Prophet Ibrahim is the standard for what it means to be a believer in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a command, and before he let his mind have a chance to process and to try to parse through and figure out how much of this makes sense to me, how much of this is practical in my life, how much of this can I actually do, his heart responded immediately, which is the beginning of the path of his millah, which is, if you want to be somebody that connects to Allah, you have to respond first with your heart before you let your brain get in the way, before you let things get complicated. Fasting is an example of this. When we fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many reasons why you could argue that fasting is very difficult, that it's challenging, that it's not practical in today's society where we have work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, And we have all these different responsibilities that we have to partake in. But before we give ourselves the chance to go through the thesis of why we can cognitively pick apart the practicality of fasting, the heart submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, you know what? This is good for me. This is good for me because Allah would never ordain upon me something which was not good for me. My brain will always try to figure out ways that will be convenient for the nafs. But my heart will always, if it's calibrated towards Allah, will always submit to what Allah Ta'ala wants for me. Now, what's the goal of every parent? You want success for your children. And success comes in many shapes and forms. You know, when we look at what you aspire your children to accomplish, you look at their personal goals, you look at their education, their professional, and of course we consider spiritual as well. But in the categorization, the hierarchy of what we consider, oftentimes the spiritual goals make their way lower and lower on that list. And so we want our children to be well-mannered, we want our children to be respected and respectful, we want our children to be well-behaved, we want them to perform well in school, we want them to be athletic, we want them to be healthy. We have all of these things that if you asked, you know, what do you want your children to be? We'd have all these things. And somewhere on that list, maybe number 10 or number 11, we say, want them to be a good Muslim. Want them to be a good Muslim. Now, when you look at the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his progeny, the lineage that follows, you see that that entire order was inverse. That of course they wanted their family and their children and their lineage to be successful. Of course they wanted them to be comfortable, to be safe, to be in a place where they could thrive and grow, no doubt. But that never came at the cost of their spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else came after that, cascaded down from that goal. So Allah ta'ala tells us, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمَ الدِّينَ. This was the advice of Ibrahim as well as Ya'qub, meaning that this is a prophetic imperative. All prophets were good fathers, great fathers. They were all incredible parents because they prioritized the right thing. They told their children, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمَ الدِّينَ. Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you this religion. You know, I was talking to a child the other day in the hallway and he said that my mom said that if I don't behave, I have to pray Taraweeh. And I looked at him, he was a young kid, and I know, I understand, right? We all understand. But I looked at him and I said, remember, prayer is never a punishment. And I said, praying to Allah is never a punishment. And I'm sorry if you're here, mom or dad, but it's never a punishment. Look at how Allah is framing in Allah, Allah Ta'ala, verily, without a doubt, astafa lakum ad-deen. Allah has chosen for you to be a part of this religion. Like, what an honor. What a distinction. Like, it's like you were born into royalty. You have this crown of faith that was given to you. فَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So make sure that no matter what, whatever life carries you through, takes you through, whatever bumps you have along the way, you cannot drop this crown off of your head. This faith has to remain in your heart. It doesn't matter if you get laid off or don't get the internship or the marriage proposal doesn't go your way, or it doesn't matter if you don't get that scholarship. All of those things we can figure out. But what we can't figure out is if a day comes when your life is coming to an end and we don't know if La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is going to be in your heart and on your lips. That we can't figure out. And then Allah Ta'ala brings a powerful example. He says, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. Or did you witness when death came to Ya'qub alayhi salam? إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ. He asked his children, what do you think are going to be the final words of a father who's passing away to his children? What do you think? Take care of yourselves. Make sure this is this. Make sure that is that. Make sure you take care of our wealth, our property. What do you think are going to be the final words? He says, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Oh, my children, what are you going to worship after I leave? What's going to be the purpose of your life when I'm gone? I'll never forget when I left Chicago to come and take my first job. One of the things my mother told me was, I won't be there to remind you to pray anymore. And every adult who has to leave the nest, you grow up being bothered. Did you pray? Did you pray? Did you pray? Salate, salate. Right? You hear from the basement, namaz parna, you know? And you just get, oh, okay, okay, okay. And then you leave, and that reminder becomes like the sweetest thing that you could ever hear. Salate? Salate? Did you pray? So he's asking his children, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What are you going to worship after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Powerful. They say, oh, our father, if there's one thing that the heart that is leaving this dunya and going to Allah would love to hear, it's this statement. Our Father, don't worry. We are going to stay steadfast and firm. We are going to worship your Lord, the Lord of your fathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq, the one single Lord, and to Him alone we will submit to. You know why, subhanAllah, this statement is so powerful? Because out of all of their accomplishments, out of all of their ambitions in life, they understood that carrying their faith through their lineage, this golden chain, was the most important thing that they could ever do. You're going to look back at your life, and you're going to look at all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And you're going to see the Quran competition trophies. You're going to see the certificates of memorizing Surah Al-Fatiha in weekend school. You're going to see your child and the videos you have on your phone of them singing the nasheeds during Ramadan, and you're going to say, this is more valuable to me than that honor society induction. This is more valuable to me than graduating valedictorian honors, than that internship, than getting into an Ivy League. This is more valuable to me than that. And if we don't have that perspective, Allah Ta'ala gives us this passage to really set us right and to tell us what's important. Brothers and sisters, there's no doubt that we all have hopes and dreams for our families. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala does not forbid for us to have aspirations. All He does is He tells us what should be the first one. He tells us what needs to be number one. If everything else falls in line, you'll always be okay. But if this order ever gets mixed up, then we will see a day in which our children will not be able to remember the lineage, the faith that their lineage carried to them. If you look at it like a illuminated board on a wall, there might come a time where a young person becomes the last one who has that illumination of iman. We ask Allah to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow our families to love Him and to love His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just like we see this beautiful example of faith being carried through one generation to the next, that Allah allows us the privilege and the honor of our children and their children and their children to carry faith through all the way until the end of times. Amin ya rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.